Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's sermon, as we continue our way through, making our way through 1 Corinthians, it comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, specifically verses 23 through 29. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Lord's Supper. What a fun topic for us today. After all, Lutherans love to talk about the sacraments because they make the gospel physical and tactile for us to see and touch and taste. Of course, just because we love to talk about them doesn't mean we really understand them or think about them a whole lot. After all, we celebrate the Lord's Supper twice a month, but I suspect that a good number of us don't think about it much apart from those two Sundays. And even on those Sundays, do we really take the time to always think about them and meditate before receiving them? Do we always think about and consider what the Lord's Supper means for us in our walk with Jesus? It is far too easy for us to fall into the familiar habit of going to church, worshiping, and receiving the Lord's Supper without also considering what the Lord's Supper really is and what it really is doing for us. If you feel as though you have not adequately prepared for the Lord's Supper today, I encourage you to turn to pages 329 and 330 in the hymnal and read through the Christian questions and their answers during the offering as a way to prepare for the Lord's Supper later on in the service. But for right now during the sermon, we're going to talk about what the Lord's Supper is and how and when we are to receive it. We start, of course, with what it is. Simply put, it is Jesus' body and blood, as we see in the words of institution recorded here by Paul in 1 Corinthians. "This is my body, which is for you. The cup is the new covenant in my blood." The bread and wine are truly Christ's body and blood. In fact, in verse 26, Paul goes so far as to say, "As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The bread and the cup are a participation in the death of Christ. And then in verse 27, "Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner is guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord." It is Christ's true body and true blood, which we receive in the sacrament. And of course, these are given for us, Paul says, for the forgiveness of sins. In the words of institution, we see that the cup is given to us for the forgiveness of sins. Paul says, as often as we eat it, we proclaim the Lord's death. We receive his forgiveness whenever we participate in Christ's body and blood. And furthermore, God also promises that he forgives our sins and thereby he gives us salvation and eternal life in the Lord's Supper. So this is a big deal. The Lord's Supper is very important for us and for what it means to be believers. And in fact, Paul warns that we can actually sin against Jesus' body and blood. Verse 27, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. If you are unworthy of receiving, you are guilty of sinning against Jesus' body and blood. That's a scary thought. And then in verses 29 and 30, anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. You can actually eat and drink judgment on yourself in the sacrament, and some of the Corinthians even did it. We're not told what that means for them, how it is that they became weak and ill and even died because of it, but Paul says it happened, and so it's a big deal. It's something for us to be somewhat concerned about. For obvious reasons, this is terrifying. If you can drink judgment on yourself by sinning against Jesus' body and blood, you had better be absolutely certain that you are worthy before partaking of the Lord's Supper. Which brings us to the question of how we are to receive it and what it is that makes one worthy. And it boils down to a couple of questions. First off, do I believe that I am a sinner? That's the most fundamental question to ask. If you do not believe that you are a sinner, then you have no need for forgiveness. And if you have no need for forgiveness, then you have no need for the sacrament. And so, if you believe you are not a sinner, then why would you take the sacrament which forgives sins? But we know from Scripture that you are a sinner. I am a sinner. We are all sinners, as we say at the beginning of our service in Confession and Absolution. As we know all through Scripture, we are sinners, whether it's we are sinners from birth because we have inherited sin from our parents. We are also sinners because every day we sin. And so every day we need the forgiveness of sins which God offers in the sacrament. So then the second question to ask is, do I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior? And that is a fairly logical question to follow that first question, because if you are a sinner, then you need salvation from sin. And where else does this salvation come from but the Savior, who is Jesus Christ? And we see in Scripture that Jesus was the sinless man who is also true God, who died on the cross so that his death and his body and blood, which he offers us in the sacraments, can forgive our sins. So then we ask those two questions, but then the third question is, do I believe that this gift gives me Jesus' true body and true blood, which forgive my sins? And so that is why we, and so that's what we see when Paul says that we must discern the body in the sacrament. There are plenty of other groups that teach that the sacrament isn't really Jesus' true body and true blood, but that's not what Lutherans believe. We believe that Jesus' true body and true blood are present physically in the sacrament, which we receive when we eat it. Everyone receives Christ's true body and true blood in the sacrament, but only those who believe it to be so receive it for their benefit. So if you can give a yes answer to all three of these questions, then you are worthy to receive the Lord's Supper. But that doesn't necessarily make it appropriate for you to partake in a given situation. So that leads us to the next part, when and where should you receive the sacrament? Imagine that you were to walk into someone's house, sit down at the table, and help yourself to their dinner. In some situations, that is perfectly appropriate. If it's your own house, or you are an invited guest, a close family member. In some situations, that is inappropriate. if it's a stranger's house or it is an acquaintance, then you're not quite close enough that you can just waltz right in, then it's not appropriate to just walk in and eat dinner with them. That it is inappropriate to eat in at the house doesn't make it wrong for you to eat. It simply means you're in the wrong place. And so that is really what we say when we ask, is it appropriate to receive communion in a given church? And so it is only appropriate to take communion within your own fellowship, those who believe as you do, people with whom you are in agreement. It is appropriate for you to receive communion at this altar today if you are a member of Trinity Lutheran Church, or it is also appropriate if you are a member of St. John Elma, Mount Calvary and Wamego, or any other Missouri Synod congregation. We are all in unity. We all teach and believe the same thing. And it is even appropriate if you are a member of a congregation with whom we are in fellowship, whether the Free Evangelical Lutheran Synod in South Africa, Lanka Lutheran Church, Lutheran Synod of Mexico, or any of the other 33 church bodies throughout the world with whom we are in fellowship. Or to put it a different way, if you were out of the country visiting Mexico and you walked into a congregation of the Lutheran Synod of Mexico, you would be welcome to take communion with them because we are all in unity and fellowship together, all believing and walking together. However, it is inappropriate for you to receive communion here if you are not part of one of these groups. If a member of Mill Creek Baptist were to walk in today, they would be welcome to worship with us, but not to take communion because this is the wrong place for that. This doesn't mean they are not Christian, far from it. Rather, it simply means that we are not in agreement at this time. The unity of the body of church has been fractured, and until it is reset, we cannot claim a unity which is simply not there. And so it is appropriate for them to receive communion at their church. So that is when it is appropriate, that is where it's appropriate, but why do we receive the Lord's Supper? I want you to imagine that you've had a difficult day at work, at school, wherever it is. You had a difficult day, the worst day you've ever had. Nothing was going right. You didn't accomplish anything you wanted to do. Murphy's been at it again. Whatever could go wrong, did go wrong. You've been beaten up physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It feels like there is nothing that can make up for the awful day you just experienced. Nothing but going to sleep and hoping that it was a dream. After this terrible day, you drag yourself home, pull open the door, and all but crawl inside. You don't want to see anyone, speak to anyone, do anything. But then it hits you. The smell of your favorite food in the world. You suddenly start to perk up and without even knowing what you're doing, start walking toward the kitchen. With every step, the stress and frustration of the day seems to be falling off. Every bad thing that happened is replaced in your mind with the happy memories of other times you've eaten your favorite food. You walk into the kitchen, see the whole family there, warm and smiling and inviting. They beckon you to sit down at your familiar seat, surrounded by the people you love. They dish up a heaping helping of your favorite food for you with a glass of your favorite drink. Everyone is smiling and laughing and having a good time, and so are you. Even though you had a horrible day, everything that happened has been put out of your mind, replaced with love and friendship and joy. This is the gift that you receive in the Lord's Supper. Gathering together with everyone you love and everyone who loves you. Partaking of a wonderful meal prepared for you by your loving Father. Everything that's wrong is made right by this meal. And now we come and eat, for the table is ready and the Father is waiting. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. unto life everlasting. Amen.